The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. But when he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you in all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak what he hears and will declare to you the things that are coming. He will glorify me because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. For this reason I told you that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The Gospel of the Lord. I decided I'd give the homily from the Ambo today, since sometimes people tell me at the back they can't see me when I stand here and give the homily, so we'll try this. I used to do it this way, and people said, you're too high up. So then I went down there, and they said, we can't see you, so I'll kind of move around. It's Trinity Sunday, and the Trinity sounds like something very remote and yet very present. We bless ourselves very frequently. We bless ourselves with the holy water. When people after Mass said, I want the priest to bless my car, it's blessed in the name of the Trinity. When Mike here is an Angel fan, when Pujols has gone up to bat, he blesses himself. Sometimes it works. So blessing is a Trinitarian blessing is very familiar to us. And when I think about this, we baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I am reminded of this story that you may have heard before, but it takes me back to 1962 when I was in the seminary. And there was a distinguished priest from County Tipperary. His name was Michael Brown. Michael Brown was a professor at the Dominican University in Rome, the Athenaeum. And Pope John the 23rd made him a cardinal. And he came back to Ireland in all his glory, a new cardinal from County Tipperary. And he got great attention. But he wanted to meet one person. He wanted to meet the nun that baptized him. Since when he was born, apparently they thought he was in danger of dying, and this nun who was at the hospital baptized him. So now he thought he'd like to meet this old nun who baptized him. So he searched around, and of course the old nun was delighted to meet the cardinal that she baptized as a newborn baby. So he met the nun. He said, Sister, I really want to thank you. Oh, Your Eminence, she said, it was an honor for me to baptize you in the name of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Now we have an ecclesial crisis. We have a cardinal who is not validly baptized. No, what happened? But he died in 1977, and he's up there somewhere, whatever. So let me look at this mystery of the Trinity, which is somewhat remote and yet ever-present, and try to draw it into the experience of our lives. Since the mystery of the Trinity is not to be solved, not to be understood, the mystery of the Trinity is to be experienced. So how do we experience the mystery of the Trinity in everyday life? G.K. Chesterton reminds us that one of the secrets of life is to look at things familiar long enough until they become unfamiliar. Then we really begin to see. Sophocles in the Oedipus teaches the chorus, teaches Oedipus how to commune, how to pray to the Eumenides, the gods of the earth. He said it must be done silently. You must commune with the gods of the earth. No words. It's silent. It takes time. It takes a contemplative spirit. When we come to church, we're not looking for membership in a church. We're looking for an experience. When I was young at Holy Family 29, 30 years ago, and it was a kind of a smaller community, and I asked three women, very bright ladies in our parish, to go and do a study of volunteerism, how we would attract leaders into a volunteer corps. And these three ladies went off and they studied this and they went to libraries and they came up with some conclusions. And the first reason people volunteer is they want to belong. They're not looking for membership. They're looking for an experience of belonging. And the Trinity is, as we know, the three persons in one God. They are one because they are perfect in the manner of love. So perfect, so infinite in love that the three become one. And we, made in the image of God, we're yearning for experiences to become one. A profound personal experience of belonging. Not membership in a church, of belonging. Remember that Plato reminded us, we are fired into life with a madness which comes from the gods, which makes us believe we are destined for a great love. And so we are. Thomas More, in his book, The Soul's Religion, he confesses that all his life, he is searching for more than what is. He's always searching for something more. There's something missing. There's something that he has not yet experienced. And this is true when we look at life, because there are three energies inside of us that are insatiable. We're search for life. We'd like to live a long life, but we don't want to grow old. But we're clinging to life. We want life, not just years, but life which has meaning, life which has depth, life which has some sense of personal, deep, profound value. We're searching for love. I know, tell me you love me. Well, I told you yesterday, but tell me again today. Because this search for love is insatiable. We need constantly to be embraced in love. It goes on and on. And truth, we're all searching for truth. Whether it's up in the stars or under the ocean or the truth in philosophy or theology, there is a constant uneasiness as we search and search for truth. And therefore, that's the image of God in us. We are made in the image of God, this uneasiness, until we touch something transcendent. When we touch something transcendent, a deeper place, then we are experiencing the Trinity in our lives. When there is division, there is emptiness, there is poverty, then somehow God is absent. That's Trinity. That's the experience of Trinity. And in some way, every one of us has the experience of Trinity, its presence or its absence. Now, we suffocate this yearning for something transcendent by our pursuit of worldly things. We're impatient. We want to conquer. We want to accumulate more things. We want to work harder. We want to achieve more. We want more entertainment. We want more of all the peripheral things. None of these things will give us the deep yearning which the soul craves. That's why, you know, I was talking to somebody the last few days and said, I was going to have a retreat sometime for young couples. But it's impossible to find a retreat house that's free any weekend. People are yearning for some deep experience of life, some understanding, something transcendent, something different than all the things that consume us in life. That's the yearning for Trinity. We're made in the image of a God who is given to us in perfect love. And our yearning for it is the yearning for this enduring sense of life, love, and truth. Simone Weil reminded us this way. She says, "The danger is not that we convince ourselves that there is no bread, but that by a lie, the soul may be convinced that it is not hungry." And we can convince ourselves we're not hungry by all the distractions of life. We just get caught in this, we get caught in something else, we get jealous, we get angry, we get consumed with all these worldly energies that are around us. We need recognition, we need applause. We mortgage our lives into peripheral things and we neglect the yearnings of the soul. Now, you've heard me say before that there was an Irish mystic who died just a year ago, and he always greeted people with this greeting. He says, "How is your soul?" Oh, you've heard me say this. I go to see Father Niall. I'll see him this morning. And the first thing I ask him is, "How is your soul?" And he says, "My soul is peaceful." Then fine. Then life is good. Somebody said, "My soul is disturbed. I'm in conflict. I feel empty. I feel unloved. I feel lost. I'm at sea." I look in the mirror and I said, "Wow, this person is falling apart." That's damage to the soul. Very nice reflection on that in Rollheiser's book, The Holy Longing. The yearning of the soul. And someday, when you say, "I'm falling apart," or you look in the mirror and you say, "Wow, this person is utterly and absolutely disfigured and falling apart," that's damage to your soul. So Rollheiser has in the book, The Holy Longing. So take a second look at the Trinity. But you must commune. You must stop long enough. You must reflect in a deeper way to somehow touch the fringes of the deep, deep yearning of the soul. And when that happens, it's a transcendent experience. It's an experience of prayer. When that happens, we are touching the margins of the mystery of the Trinity. No worldly answer is sufficient to begin to respond to the yearnings of the Spirit. It has to be something that comes to us through communing. That we need time. Because in our society, time is the great bankruptcy. We don't have time. We don't have time to do this. We've got so many things on. And all the things that are on are distracting you from the yearnings of the soul. Amen.